today.
After crashes for now, dealers around the country stopped offering the rebates because they weren't sure the money was coming from Congress. Former Giants wideout indicted now by a Manhattan jury. That would be Plaxico Burress. We have the details coming up. Congratulations to the boys down under in Australia. They thwart a terrorist attack. Yeah, pretty interesting stuff, too. We'll dive into that. Clinton heads to North Korea to rescue journalists that have been held now for a couple of months. Yuna Lee and Laura Ling will tell you the latest on that. He arrived and was greeted like a former president from the United States, one that was embraced a little bit by that country, you would assume would have been embraced like. But will that warm reception actually translate into the release of these two female journalists? Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney, America Tonight. We start, though, with the Dems vowing to pass health care at all costs. Representative Pete King, Republican from New York, says, oh, not so fast.
Yeah, I think it's pretty clear that over the last month, momentum has swung in our favor. But, you know, we have to avoid too much hubris. We have to avoid, I believe, going for the kill. What we have to do is make our case, try to make it cogently and effectively, that the president has overreached, that he is attempting to, totally reform or change a healthcare system without really an idea of where he wants to take it. I mean, there are four or five different proposals out there, and, this is not a major issue among the American people. I think the last poll showed 14% see health care reform as being a major issue, yet this could have a real impact on the American people. So that's why they feel, I think this is a metaphor for the president having gone too far too fast and really not lived up to his campaign promises of governing from the center. But we have to avoid acting as if, you know, we've won this battle. Right now, the voters are turning somewhat against Barack Obama. It doesn't mean they're coming toward us. We have to play this, I believe, very effectively, but not be going for the kill. We're just laying out our plan and why we think the president's wrong.
All right, so that's how many in the Republican Party feel. You know how I feel. I agree with Pete King. I think it's too fast, too much down our throat, and not a lot of explanations. Let's hurry up, and get this through. And yet, I don't want to beat a dead horse. We say it over and over again. If you've looked at any of those 1,000 pages, which you can download, trust me, some of it is confusing. Some of it doesn't really make sense. And every single week, there's a different twist to this. So there's a real battle happening now. And it's Democrats getting the word out, and it's Republicans doing the same thing. As Pete King said, they don't want to get too much ahead of themselves, because if they're full of it and think, well, look, you know, you can tell the American people aren't happy with what they're seeing, they could ultimately blow what the Republicans feel is the right thing to do, to take out a lot of the things that are being proposed. And many are saying not against health care reform of some sort, but trying to hurry and push this through without thinking it through is stupid, much like what we saw with the first stimulus. How much money did you want? $787 billion? And did it really stimulate the economy? No. People are getting laid off still, right and left. Underemployed. Now we want the extension for unemployment benefits. Many people cannot find jobs. It's not that they're lazy. It's not that they're not applying. It's that they're applying for a job at Starbucks, and 500 other people are doing the same thing. They just want to get to work again. It's really, really tough out there. And as for the clunkers, stop dead in the water, because after 1 week, the initial $1 billion rebate's gone. So I do not blame the car dealers for saying, you know, we don't want to offer this, because if we're giving you rebates of up to $4,500 and then we can't make good on that, we're going to be stuck for the loot. We're going to be the ones that are going to be stuck for it. And the Senate, not too thrilled about it the first time around. It barely passed. Got the 60 needed, but barely, for the $1 billion. So the House says, oh, yeah, sure, another $2 billion, no problem. But not with the Senate. So here's a program that really worked, but yet there wasn't enough money to back it up. Politics as usual, right? So the clunker program was working, but it is definitely sputtering to a massive halt unless the Senate rapidly approves that $2 billion more. Speaking of sputtering, do you know your post office people? Do you know your postman or postwoman? I guess that's what you would say if it was a woman who delivers your mail each and every day. You know, that was like the old thing. You knew everybody. The person who delivered the milk, the guy down the street who had the grocery store, a lot of the mom and pop stuff. Always growing up, we knew the postman. I think every place I've lived, I've known who the postal people are. That could be a thing of the past because they're talking about shutting down 1,000 prime spots as far as post offices are concerned and cutting back hours. And why? Because there's no money. There's no money. I'll tell you more about that, too. And some of the areas that could be hit right away as far as postal service really, really shrinking. But I mentioned this, that there is definitely opposition to what some are calling Obamacare. Now, there was a representative that was holding what was going to be sort of a liberal or left-leaning demonstration pro, let's push health care through. But apparently, he didn't realize how many people weren't on the same page as he was, because this is what it sounded like at this little meeting. That sound. You know, I love that sound because at least people are being proactive in what they think. So the crowd or the protesters really exploded, shouting down the whole idea of health care and what's being thrown out there in Austin. In Austin, Texas, my friends, in the Hill Country, is a pot-smoking, liberal-leaning area. I'm not saying everybody's smoking weed. I'm not saying everybody is a liberal thinker, but certainly if you were to look at a map and point out areas not as conservative in the state of Texas as a Dallas or even parts of Houston. So I think that was a surprise to a lot of people, and it's not the only place where the crowd went a little bit crazy. It's going to be interesting to see these various town hall meetings and stops along the way, especially for some of the Democrats, I think, because the reaction that already they're getting is not one that is pro, let's get health care going in a different direction and get health care out to everybody who doesn't have it. And the same thing happened to Arlen Specter. He was out pushing the whole health care thing, and the crowd exploded. And I think what people are realizing from many of the talk shows they listen to or things they're reading and just informing themselves, that why is there such a race to get to the end of this without really looking at how it affects various segments of our society, like the elderly. Speaking of that, Medicare, what would the proposed health care reform do to Medicare? We're going to talk about that next with an expert here on America Tonight. Stay with us.
Being a part of Life Change Tea has been an exhilarating experience. I love the testimonies. Julie in New York writes, I love this product. I feel great. It worked immediately. You can feel the cleansing right away. Other products don't work right away like this one does. Mrs. Luella from Missouri writes, my daughter has lost 27 pounds. She loves the tea. And David from Tennessee writes, my wife has a lot of digestive problems and the tea really helps her a lot. I like it too. And here's my favorite from CJ in Minnesota. He writes, this stuff really works. No, I mean, it really works. No, I mean, it really works. Be one of the many testimonies that we receive every month. Order today online at GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Or you can call us at 928-308-0408. You know the number, 928-308-0408. Be our next testimony. You love us, and we love you.
Hi, this is John Swenson again at Midas Resources, and let me ask just one question. What would you list as the things that the federal government does really well? The armed forces and printing bogus money doesn't count. Now take that blank page of yours and list the ways that you have to protect your assets and escape the paper markets. The only real option is precious metals for your retirement, your kids' education, or just plain survival when the whole Obama mess comes crashing down. You are the only one you can count on for a stimulus package. And I'd like to discuss a proven strategy to create that safety net for you and your family. Please give me a call at 800-686-2237, extension 128. That's 800-686-2237, extension 128. And together we can develop a make sense program before the clock runs out. Once more, John Swenson at 800-686-2237, extension 128. And take charge of your future, and thank you.
Are you concerned for the safety of your loved ones? Listen closely to this message from PepperSpray.com. Every 22 seconds a violent crime is committed. America has changed, and your personal safety is your first priority. Be smart. Be safe. Trust Pepper Spray instead of your luck. PepperSpray.com is the only website you'll ever need for all of your non-lethal self-defense supplies. PepperSpray.com carries one of the largest assortments of pepper spray and personal safety products on the web. From big to small, we have it all. Pepper spray, mace, animal repellents, stun guns, and tasers. PepperSpray.com also carries a large assortment of products for personal, home, child, and pet safety. Enter SAFE in the coupon box and you'll receive a special discount off of your order. So what are you waiting for? Go to PepperSpray.com. That's PepperSpray.com. Or call 1-800-908-9988 today.
Medicare. Well, Medicare has worked for a lot of people for 44 years. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, America Tonight. My grandfather just turned 93. You know, I've talked about that last week when he hit the big number 93. And I know I've watched my mother deal recently with Medicare and how great it's been for him. John Gaiman joins us now. He believes it's rock solid as well. So people are shaking a little bit, worried that this is going to go away with this push for health care reform. That's one of the things that would be sliced out, or at least it's being talked about anyway. Gaiman, of course, a professor emeritus of family medicine at University of Washington, one of my favorite places. I jogged around there for a whole week once when I was up doing something in the Seattle area. Thanks so much for coming on with us. We appreciate it.
Yes, John Gaiman, glad to be with you.
Yeah, and John, tell us about Medicare and why it's so successful, why it's worked so well for so many people like my own family.
Well, it just had its 44th birthday. Since it was enacted in 1965, it's been a solid rock for a growing number of people. Now 43 million, 65 and over, plus 2 more million disabled. It's a solid rock of universal coverage for that age group and the disabled. The benefits are predictable. They don't change. It's a broad risk pool across that whole group. The efficiency of the program is much better than private insurance. They run with an overhead of 3% or so versus 18 to 26% of private insurers. There's less cost sharing than private insurers. It's more accountable. There's full choice of physician and hospital in the regular Medicare program. It's distributed all over the country. It's not perfect, and it's most of its problems are because it's been privatized on different occasions over the years. The latest example being the 2003 Medicare supposedly Modernization and Improvement Program, or Act, that Congress passed that brought in the drug benefit, but that handed over the drug benefit to the drug industry and the insurance industry for another round of private Medicare plans, which already had a lot of problems in the 90s. So the private Medicare plans take more of our dollar in terms of profits and higher overhead. They're much less stable than Medicare. Many people have to leave the private plans to get back on Medicare when the plans leave the market, which happened in the 90s. 2.5 million people have to go back to regular Medicare. Anyhow, so original Medicare is a strong program. It's not perfect, but it's the best model we have to work with going forward. We have a huge crisis in the healthcare system. Coverage is increasingly unaffordable for people. We have 1,300 private insurers. The private insurance industry is actually dying. I wrote a whole book about that, Do Not Resuscitate, about the end of the insurance industry. We have big problems in the system. So
Professor Guyman, in saying that we have big problems in the system, what do you think the solution is? What if you were the guy in charge, and you know a lot about this, if you're the guy in charge, what do you think is the right solution moving forward?
Well, there are a number of solutions, but the first thing we have to do is to stabilize our financing of the system. And I've been president of the Physicians for National Health Program for a couple of years. That's 16,000 docs in this country. And so I am an advocate of a single-payer Medicare for All program, as in the Conyers bill in the House, H.R. 676, which has 85 co-sponsors. That would give us public financing for everyone in the country. It would cost us much less than what either employers or citizens are paying now. It would assure benefits across the board of necessary health care, including dental care, by the way, and other aspects that are important, including home care. And it would be just much more efficient than a multi-payer system with 1,300-plus private insurers that are all competing to cherry-pick the market and make as much money for themselves and their shareholders, but not cover sick people. So,
yep. What about the doctors? What would that do to the physicians? Because then some people would say, well, but if you have a single payer, then does that mean that better doctors or competition, somebody goes to med school for XYZ versus somebody else? How do you deal with that?
Well, despite the rhetoric to the contrary, and we have a huge rhetoric by people that want to keep the market-based system going, despite how it's becoming unaffordable for the middle class now. But a study within the year, 2,200 American physicians, virtually all specialties, all but three, by the way, more than 50% favored national health insurance, single payer. We had a study a few years ago with a majority of deans of medical schools saying the same thing. So this is not a way-out idea. It has the support of a lot of physicians. If we had a single-payer system for all 310 million people, the physicians would get aboard right quick because they would have to. And their reimbursement would be negotiated. Primary care physicians, which are in crisis now, they're under-reimbursed. They would have better reimbursement. Some services that are discretionary or are over-reimbursed right now would probably get less reimbursed. But we would have a strong system right off, and physicians would get aboard, as they did when Medicare was passed. When Medicare was passed in 1965, Mm-hmm. The AMA was totally against it. It was socialized medicine, just like they're telling us now. But as soon as it appeared obvious that it was going to pass, when the hospital association got together with Blue Cross, that was the big thing that happened there. Blue Cross is the big private insurer, said, look, we will be you, the hospital's go-between, the intermediary between the government and you all. So then the American Hospital Association got aboard, and then all of a sudden the AMA did too. Well, the AMA did fine. Within a year after Medicare in 65 was passed, physicians' incomes increased by 8%, and they've been doing just fine on Medicare since then, though some services, especially primary care, are grossly under-reimbursed, and that's a real problem.
Yeah, absolutely, with the reimbursement it is. Yeah. Do you think, so do you, the problem is a lot of people don't want to see, they don't want to even hear the word socialized, of course, and we've talked to our friends in Canada, and they tell us that sometimes they get good health care, but a lot of times it's kind of mediocre, and some of the doctors are unhappy, and they're trying to leave for greener pastures. You don't foresee that happening. Like you said, you think the doctors would get on board if this became a viable plan.
Physicians here would get on board just fine and really quite quickly. The Canadian situation is demagogued by opponents of health reform here. They're always telling us that physicians, a big brain drain of physicians to the U.S., that's actually not true. It's been well studied and written up. That's not true. The Canadian system spends a little more than half of what we do, and they have much better outcomes of care, and we don't hear that either. We hear from the opponents of health reform that the waiting lists are too long in Canada. That's true for a few things, but if you want emergency care and really excellent care for a lot of things, you'll get it right quick. They are trying to improve their waiting times, and they are doing that for elective hip surgery and some areas like that. But they don't have the resources that we do. If we had those resources, we'd be doing fine. And then, or they'd be doing fine if they had
right.
ours.
Right.
But anyhow, the other thing that we never hear about is a waiting list on this side of the border. If you're on Medicaid or underinsured, you may wait an awfully long time to get care.
Yep, that's true, Professor. I know about that all too well from family circumstances.
Yeah.
Professor Guymon, thanks so much for joining us on America Tonight. Meanwhile, we'll see what you have to say. Single payer, what do you think? Does the professor make some sense? Or are you still all thumbs down? 800-259-5791.
If you'd like to quit smoking regular cigarettes and try a revolutionary new alternative, this might be the most important message you will ever hear. PremiumeCigarette.com brings you the electronic cigarette. It looks like a cigarette. It feels and tastes like a cigarette. And even delivers nicotine like a cigarette. But because this is not a cigarette, it doesn't deliver toxic chemicals and tar into your lungs or discolor your teeth. The Premium e-cigarette has no flame or ashes, and you could smoke it anywhere, even where cigarettes are not permitted. Because the vapor you exhale is only water, not dangerous secondhand smoke. You've tried the gum. You've tried the patch. You've tried cold turkey. Now it's time to try the Premium e-cigarette. By doing so, you will save 60-75% over regular cigarettes. If you'd like to learn more, visit PremiumeCigarette.com. That's Premium, the letter E, Cigarette.com. PremiumeCigarette.com. Or call 866-242-9210. That's 866-242-9210 today.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Are you concerned about an economic downfall? Would you like to have more money to invest in precious metals, food, and safety of your loved ones? With the Debt Crisis Solutions Program, you can finally be debt-free without paying another cent to creditors and not have to file bankruptcy. This is not debt counseling, settlement, or debt consolidation, which may have serious legal and tax consequences. With our program, you will not pay another penny to your creditors or collectors. Protect your home, paycheck, and bank account from any lawsuits and restore your credit history. We also provide mortgage modification services, which can lower your mortgage payments without refinancing. If you're facing foreclosure problems, we can help. Finally, proven debt solutions that work for the people. Become debt-free in 90 days. Doing nothing doesn't make the debt go away. Call Debt Crisis Solutions and speak to an advisor absolutely free. Call 718-615-0123. That's 718-615-0123 today.
When you hear the words water purification, what comes to mind? If it's Berkey Water Purification Systems, this message is for you. Did you know that over 60% of municipal water contains fluoride at less than 2 cents per gallon? Berkey water filters purify treated and untreated water, remove dangerous chlorine, fluoride, and contaminants from municipal water. These filters are powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water, making them perfect for rainwater collection systems. From the smallest to the largest systems, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has what you need. With your system purchase, you'll receive a shower filter, a fluoride filter, or two sport Berkey bottles absolutely free. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com would like to offer GCN listeners 5% off all ceramic filter systems and ship all orders over $50 free of charge. Visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. Or call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY today.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Birthdays. So one of them is the President of the United States. And we know that his birth has caused a lot of controversy lately. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney. We're going to swing in a different direction, and these birthers, unfortunately, are fueling the fire, I think, for the Democrats. The Senate Majority Leader, of course, Harry Reid, knows when to attack. So this group of conspiracy theorists who believe that Obama isn't a U.S. citizen, even though there's overwhelming evidence to the contrary, right? It just adds fuel to the fire. For the GOP has this fringe side. So, man, let's keep the Democrats in office. Reid's comments are saying just that. The Democrats have looked at the birther movement as an opportunity to link the GOP party to the fringe group, and it discredits everything all around because it's just ridiculously radical. Here's the deal. There's this controversy, right? It's artificial. Come on, folks. I agree with Ann Coulter, and I agree with Bill O'Reilly on this. It's getting way too much attention. And the bottom line is this. They're ignoring a proven fact that the president was born in the United States. Just last week, one of the leaders of the House continued to fuel the fires that he wasn't an American. So here's the thing. If you look at the birth certificate, the one that's being produced, this Kenyan birth certificate, in fact, I looked at it just before we jumped on the air. You look at it, and it's just incredulous. There's nothing that's real about this birth certificate. There's so many problems, obviously, with it, including the fact that it's supposedly from the Republic of Kenya, and it's got a publication date that is before the Republic was founded. So, you know, if you're going to set up one of these things, you got to at least have the right people in place and the right documents. And it's worth letting you hear this if you haven't heard it already here on America Tonight. But here is one of the key members of the movement. It's this attorney who says that he is obviously not an American, and she gets all tied up in what she's saying on MSNBC. Take a listen.
Okay. I just need to know how much time do I have. I had bad experience in CNN with Kitty Pilgrim where
well,
she
Well, if you just answer my question, we'll give you plenty of time. But answer the question.
Okay.
Fine,
okay.
But answer
well,
the question.
Okay.
About...
Okay. Okay. In Hawaii, the way announcements were made in the newspapers, they had two types of birth certificates, and that's why we're demanding to see the original. One was a proper birth certificate from the hospital. Another was a birth certificate issued based on a statement of one relative only. It could be grandmother or a mother.
That's fine, but Orly, you haven't answered my question. What would be the motivation?
Okay, you need to show some decency and integrity as a journalist. You need to give me an opportunity to explain. I cannot
okay,
see.
Orly, you
but,
can talk about integrity
if,
and discipline.
Okay.
Go for it.
So there were two types of birth certificates. One proper birth certificate from hospital, another that came from a parent. As a matter of fact, a parent could have just filled out a form and lied. If Obama was born in Kenya and the mother wanted to lie and she didn't want to go through immigration, she didn't want to pay immigration attorney, she would fill out the form saying, my son was born in Honolulu, mail it or bring it to the health department. They take
Your allegation here is that Barack Obama's family was somehow motivated to lie to Hawaii officials, including Orly.
Let me finish. No, Orly, I don't, because you are unable to listen. I didn't even.
All right, so you can hear a little bit of that. She's a California attorney. She's filed a number of lawsuits demanding proof of Barack Obama's eligibility to serve as, of course, the commander of the free world, the president of the United States, and released a copy of what purports to be a Kenyan certificate of birth. And now there's a new motion in the U.S. District Court for its authentication. Can't say that. Authenticity. There you go. And it's just nonsensical. Like I said, I'm in this with Bill O'Reilly. As much as there are so many things that I cannot agree with this administration at all. Certainly many of you have listened to the show. You know how I feel. It's one turnaround after another, flip-flop after another, promises and then revoking it, and it's only been 6 months. And, of course, you look even at the debt and where we're at. It just keeps clicking up over $1 trillion, just ridiculous. But I can't go there with you on the birth certificate thing if you're one of those people who thinks that Obama wasn't born in the United States. It makes for interesting conversation, but hey, if it's so, then prove it. And I just don't see where that proof is, especially the latest thing. There was like 80 different things wrong with the birth certificate. And if you want to look at it, you can go on World Net Daily, by the way. And of course, Joseph Farah and World Net Daily, they're saying that there is some credence to the fact that he was not born in the United States, but you can go on that site and look at the birth certificate, and there are others that have posted it as well. Speaking of posting it, it's about posting bail, I guess, for Plaxico Burress. He's been indicted on 3 weapons counts. Yeah, indicted by a grand jury for shooting himself in a thigh at a Manhattan nightclub. He faces the minimum of 3.5 years if convicted. And, you know, in New York, they wanted this case badly. I think I talked about this earlier in the week. I think I talked about it yesterday, or maybe it was last week that I mentioned it. But they're treating this like any other case against any other defendant. So the idea that money and fame can get you out of things, I guess, isn't working so far, at least at least in the early stages of this, what specifically the counts are, two counts of criminal possession of a weapon and one count of reckless endangerment. His lawyer says he's disappointed but not surprised by the indictment. He testified before the grand jury. He expressed remorse because that certainly was something unique, but they thought maybe that would work. Remember what happened. Burris and a former teammate was with him, drove him to the hospital. He wasn't indicted, by the way. And after the decision was announced, the NFL said he wouldn't face a Antonio Pierce wouldn't face a league suspension because, of course, they were worried about his role in this whole thing. But now, after being indicted on this, we'll see where it goes, whatever punishment's prescribed. So he, whatever it is, he's gonna end up serving probably some time the way. And I'm jumping ahead of the jury here because you got to see what the jury says. But I think that they've got him evidence-wise. He was inside the club. The gun was in his waistband. Remember, it slipped down his leg. He fired. It shooted him in the right thigh. And, of course, I'm for the right to bear arms. So I can't, you know, Plaxico Burress, according to the tenets of the law, it wasn't legal what happened because he was in the wrong state for this. One of the things that he was trying to say is that he got the gun in Florida, but that's not going to float in New York, and especially in New York where it couldn't be more anti-gun. So I think he's going to be ending up doing some probably time on this. Now, one of the things that has been talked about is the fact that they could do a plea deal. And if he did a plea deal, he would get a 2-year sentence as part of the plea bargain on this charge. But I don't think so. I mean, I think this is going to end up going through a trial process. The Giants, of course, had to boot Burris in April, and he hasn't signed with another team. And it's so weird because he's the guy who caught the winning touchdown, if you remember, for the Giants over the Patriots in that thrilling Super Bowl 2 years ago in the final minute. Remember? And so now, of course, Roger Goodell could certainly slap him with some kind of a disciplinary action, but, you know, they're going to start looking at the shooting and they're going to have to review it and all that other sort of stuff. He is free on bond on $100,000, but I don't think they're going to take that plea deal. And the gun, of course, wasn't licensed in New York or in Jersey where Burris lived, and he was licensed to carry, as I already mentioned, a concealed weapon in the state of Florida, but this is the other tricky thing. It had expired in May of 2008. And interesting, too, a little quickie side note, the bullet that he fired was actually ended up stuck in the floor. A bartender recovered it, and I guess he wanted it as a souvenir, but they told him, the district attorney told him, you got to turn that over, buddy. So he couldn't walk away with it. But it's a serious situation, and it's too bad, and it goes, again, to all the gun situations. It was stupid of him to, it was an accident, it fired off, but it was stupid of him to not realize, first of all, too, that it had expired in Florida, but he just wasn't thinking. And he was thinking, I think he was thinking, because he's well-known, et cetera, take the peace with you. And unfortunately, like I said, it fired. Luckily, he's lucky it didn't end up hitting somebody else because this could have been worse for him. But there's another fallen one from the NFL. Speaking of fallen, in a quick sports short moment, the WAC is reprimanding the Hawaii coach over a gay slur. I don't know if you've heard this story or not, but they decided that Greg Mackin, for the comments he made describing Notre Dame's chant before last year's Hawaii Bowl, will have to take an additional pay cut, I guess a 7% pay cut from his $1.1 million salary. They've already suspended him for 30 days without pay, even though he apologized. Ooh, that's harsh. Hang with us.
Did you know that there are tiny hidden radio transmitters, also known as RFID chips, in millions of passports, credit cards, and licenses? In the current state of the economy, it's no surprise that identity theft has increased. With current technology, thieves can purchase a simple device online that allows them to steal your credit card number and other personal information by scanning your wallet or purse. Think of this identity theft device as a garage door opener. You push a button and within a certain distance, your door opens. Thieves get near you, push a button, and these tiny radios give out personal information. Put a stop to identity theft. Visit IDStronghold.com. Here you will find radio-blocking secure sleeves. Simply place your credit cards and passports into these slim, lightweight sleeves, and you will put a stop to anyone trying to collect your private information. For around $5, you will be protected against RFID theft. Visit IDStronghold.com. That's IDStronghold.com. Or call 1-800-610-2770. 1-800-610-2770 today.
Hi, Ed Schultz here. I want to tell you about BioGreenClean.com. BioGreenClean. It is absolutely the first heavy-duty, all-natural, multi-purpose cleaner that outperforms all competitive cleaners. BioGreenClean is the product. It's tough enough to take on virtually any cleaning challenge, yet gentle enough for your baby's toys. That's right. BioGreenClean is plant-derived and contains no harmful chemicals, solvents, and no annoying fragrances. If you want spectacular and unprecedented results from a revolutionary cleaning product, look no further. BioGreenClean is the cleaning product that you've been waiting for. It's that simple. It's super, and it's easy to order. Just go to www.biogreenclean.com. That's www.biogreenclean.com. BioGreenClean.com. BioGreenClean.com. Try it today. You'll be glad you did. BioGreenClean. It cleans anything.
Did you know many vitamin and mineral supplements on the market are made from rocks and ground up shells? Think about that. Would you swallow a handful of shells you found at the beach? Our body wasn't designed to digest rocks and shells. Hello, my name is Dr. David Friedman, formulator of Choose for Health, a delicious-tasting, chewable dietary supplement derived from 16 fruits, vegetables, and antioxidants. Unlike hard-to-digest pills, Choose for Health is a convenient chewable which allows for better digestion. The choice is yours. Swallow rocks and shells to supplement your diet or a natural chewable product you can better digest. Choose for Health, the world's first superfruit, sea vegetable, antioxidant chewable. Whole food nutrition, not rocks and shells. 1-800-210-1922. Call now and receive a free copy of my best-selling CD, America's Unbalanced Diet. 1-800-210-1922. Or go to orderchoose.com.
Coming up, news you can abuse, but first this, because I think this is news you can actually use from America Tonight. I happen to see this, that researchers from New York's Albert Einstein College of Medicine spent about 5 years following close to 500 people that were 75 to 85 years old who didn't have dementia at the start of the study they were doing. During the study period, 101 of the people developed it. Now, what the study pointed out is the ones who didn't get dementia, they would track how much they read, they wrote, they did crossword puzzles, they played a board or card game, they had group discussions, they played music. And for every activity, the daily participation, they got, you know, 7 points. Seven or several days a week, you were rated at 4 points, etc. The average score for those who later developed dementia was 7 points, meaning they took in one of the six activities each day on average. So the people who did all of this stuff or did more of this stuff delayed their decline by that much more. And it goes to the whole brain power thing. Crossword puzzles being very, very good for you to do. Of course, reading, same thing. Ugh, I guess I'm going to have to start tackling that Sunday crossword puzzle. Six down, it's a lake that borders Minneapolis. I mean, you know, some of them are layups, and some of them are so tough. And I never want to go and look at the key. But there is something to the crossword puzzle thing. I have seen it with the older people in my family who are playing cards and doing crosswords and reading. There must be something to it. I'll tell you what, if I was this guy in Florida, man, it'd be really tough to not feel sick to my stomach for a very long time. Did you hear the story about the South Florida guy who is hoping for some good luck? He had great luck, but he kind of lost the luck. Louis Tolentino says he lost a winning scratch-off lottery ticket worth $500,000. He's hoping that someone will turn it in. A clerk at the store where he bought the ticket confirms it was a winner. The clerk told him he had to cash it in at the lottery office in West Palm Beach. Somewhere along the way, he lost it. He panicked, retraced his steps probably a zillion times, but there's no sign of the lotto ticket. With his signature on it, it's finders keepers. Anyone can cash in the ticket. Or without his signature, rather. It's finders keeper. And he didn't sign it. So that means if somebody picks it up, they can go cash it in. Oh, that is crappy. You know somebody's got that holding on to it out there just waiting to go and cash it in. But everybody knows this story. I don't know. I think it would be kind of bad luck to do that. If you found it, I think you have to give it back to him and then hope he gives you a reward. It's too much bad karma to just swipe it, go there, have the whole world know, oh, gee, they trace where the ticket came from, so it's pretty obvious. But sad for this guy. New Orleans, let's head there. Researchers at Tulane could have the inside scoop on beating the energy crisis. That's what they say. They call it zoo poop. I think we've talked about this before in the past. They're studying droppings from animals like giraffes and hippos, the kind that eat plants. The zoo dew has bacteria that turns plant waste into a type of alcohol that can fuel engines, and they really think this will work. They say it looks a little bit funny, but the animals have been turning plants into energy, of course, long before people ever thought about doing it. Just imagine you just have your own little giraffe in the backyard, scoop up that poop, and there's your fuel, baby. Seattle, Washington. Seattle gardeners are curbing their appetites. The city is encouraging the green thumb type person to plant veggies on parking strips. Those are the strips of grass between the sidewalk, of course, and the curb. They've lifted the requirement for a permit for a strip garden. So there are a lot of people that are actually doing it, putting veggies in the ground. And it's kind of that theory of, it's not kind of like it is, you're eating your yard. You know, I'm not a green thumb person. I tried to do that, and I've got that topsy-turvy tomato thing. It looks like there's nothing that's sprouting from that. It's just this little tiny vine that's coming out of it. Maybe I'm doing something wrong. Speaking of food, how about this one? From North Muskegon, Michigan, it's fast food, right? Marlene Wickerink and Janet Chapman are both saying goodbye to the Golden Arches. We know what that means, McDonald's. They're retiring from McDonald's. Between the two, they have been there for more than four decades. Yeah, Happy Meals, Quarter Pounders, how many did they sell? Big Macs. The franchise owner told the local paper that the women were great examples for their fellow workers. And the one woman, Chapman, was the longtime voice of the drive-through lane. She says she's going to miss McDonald's. She adds she used to be shy before starting under the Golden Arches back in 1988. I think fast food would be tough. All the people that go through and how quickly you have to turn everything over. And I don't know. I think it'd be exhausting. By the time you're out of there anyway, I'd have to be taking a nap. I see the people in the fast food joints running around because the lines, especially in Chick-fil-A, huge lines. How about this one? It might be tough to think about the Winter Olympics during the dog days of summer, but Taryn Koos can't let a little thing like the lack of snow interrupt training for the 2010 Winter Games in Vancouver. He's a member of the U.S. cross-country ski team. Check this out. He and some of the teammates are training with roller skis in the area around Oregon's Mount Bachelor. The skiers say roller skis come pretty close to the snow, but with a few differences. One skier says that it hurts a lot more to fall on pavement than snow. The roller skis also have brakes, something, of course, snow skis don't. But, hey, anything to get yourself in shape for that. And the movement is very, very similar. This day in history, we got a couple of interesting ones for you. Sad one, of course. Anne Frank was captured back in 1944. Acting on a tip from a Dutch informer, the Gestapo captured the 15-year-old Jewish girl who had written in her diary. And famously, she and her family were sealed off in an area of a house. And she became an inspiration for so many people, but a sad end, obviously, for Anne Frank and her family. Also, in 1964, slain civil rights workers were found. That was a sad story. If we roll the tape back a little bit further, in 1914, the U.S. proclaimed neutrality in World War I. If we look to the automotive industry, it's always cool if you're a car person. In 1898, Packard goes for a test drive. In 1957, Fangio wins his last race. And in 1971, here's a real hint for you, the kid is born. Email me if you know who the kid is. And that's americatonight.net. All right, we got some birthdays for you. Cue up that music, maestro. I mentioned it before with all of this controversy over where he was born. We know he was born on this date. 48 years old now, Barack Obama, the senator from Illinois, elected the 44th president of the United States. Roger Clemens, who was an incredible pitcher back in the day, he twice struck out 20 batters in a game. Sadly, what a fall from grace after his testimony before the House and the whole steroid use thing and everything kind of unraveled for Roger Clemens, to say the least. Jeff Gordon, NASCAR Winston Cup champ. He started racing at the tender age of just 4 years old. They say most of the drivers are like that. They do the go-kart thing and stuff. Billy Bob Thornton. You might have seen him in Sling Blade. Remember, he used to carry around a vial of blood around his neck. So did his ex-wife, Angelina Jolie, when they were married for a brief time. He is going to be 54 years old. Yeah. If he were still alive, the great Louis Armstrong, 108 years old. I love to listen to his music. Also, if he were still alive, Percy Shelley would be 217 years old. You know who Percy is? English romantic poet who wrote Ode to the West Wind. I knew you knew that, right? That's something obscure that we dug up for you. Here's another one for you, just 17 years old, starred in Big Daddy and The Sweet Life of Zach and Cody, Cole and Dylan Sprouse. Both of them are 17 years old. One last one for you, a Swedish diplomat that saved 100,000 Hungarian Jews in World War II, Raoul Wallenberg, 97 years old. You know, he was putting it on the line, certainly. To do that. If you're celebrating a birthday, happy, happy birthday to you. Go out and celebrate it in style. Get one of those Carvel birthday cakes. You like those? Oh, when I was a kid, I used to love them. Something about the ice cream being mixed in with the cake. Probably still kind of one of my favorites. Or just a plain old chocolate cake. I haven't had cake in a long time. That sounds good, but can't do it. Got to stay in shape. Hats off, everybody.